This is a special presentation of On the Ground, Voices of Resistance from the Nation's Capital on WPFW Pacifica Radio in Washington, D.C. I'm Esther Averam. Following are voices from the Democracy Awakening Rally held April 17, 2016 at the U.S. Capitol. The rally capped a week of Democracy Spring protests during which hundreds were arrested to get money out of politics and to advocate for equal voting rights for all Americans. The rally's MCs are college and youth organizers Marissa Hall, Brendan Mitchell, and Rebecca Pyth.
This is what democracy looks like!
Woo! That's what I'm talking about. This is what democracy looks like. I'd love to introduce you to our first speaker of the day. Please join me in giving a warm welcome to pastor in the First Trinity Missionary Baptist Church in Flint, Michigan, Reverend Ezra Tillman!
Good afternoon. I'm here today because as a pastor, as a father, as a husband, you feel vulnerable when you cannot change the circumstance in which you live in. We're here today because it is a tragedy of what has taken place because democracy has been threatened. To this month, 2 years ago, the water was changed from the supply of Flint to Michigan, Flint, Michigan to Detroit. Was switched because of a choice that was made by unelected state appointed officials taking the vote, the power from those who care, those who are concerned about their communities and their lives. We're here today because, as by the words were shared with us by Reverend Jesse Jackson, Flint, Michigan is a crime scene. It was stated by another that drinking water from the tap is like playing Russian roulette. We're here because the water crisis is fundamentally related to our democracy crisis. Our lives are at risk, and we need to make sure as people of this United States of America that someone is held responsible and accountable to represent the people of this country. We are Americans. Americans live in Flint, Michigan. And so we have come here today to make sure our voice is heard, that we represent, that people may have money, but they cannot steal our voice. We have to make sure that as we have come here today, that we stand and bind together to make sure the power is seen, that the power is not just in elected officials. The power is in the people. Whenever children are poisoned by water, whenever elderly people are forgotten about in nursing homes, whenever people's skin are being burned affected and they're losing it off their bodies, whenever people are sick and dying because they're drinking water, losing their hair, democracy is not working. Whenever we come to this place today to scream and to shout, to get attention, because sooner or later the lens will flick and the screen will change. We need to make sure our voice are heard because democracy is not working. Our message today is to make sure there's one unified message to share with people over the world. You cannot put people in the place of mercy because of policy. You put people before policy, not policy before people. We stand today, and we ask you to stand today with Flint. We ask you to stand today as a country, and we're here to represent on behalf of the Michael Leadership Council. God bless you, and God bless America.
Let's give it up for Reverend Tillman once more, everyone. Dr. King once said that the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends towards justice. So we know that we are on the right side today, and I'm delighted to introduce David Goodman, the brother of Andrew Goodman, who was murdered by the KKK during Freedom Summer in 1964. David is now the president of the Andrew Goodman Foundation. Let's give it up for Mr. Goodman.
Good afternoon. That's the better than that. Good afternoon. And I see this Capitol building here needs a little support, needs a lot of love. Let's give it a lot of love. Love to our Capitol. By the way, in case anyone doesn't notice, the statue on the top, Native American. Only in America. Okay. It's a privilege to participate today in a democracy awakening with all our brothers and sister organizations and speak out for the moral imperative of making the most basic right of our democracy, the right to vote, easily accessible to all citizens. 52 years ago, on June 21st, 1964, my brother, Andrew Goodman, and his co-workers, James Cheney and Michael Schwerner, were murdered by the Ku Klux Klan in Neshoba County, Mississippi, because they were registering African Americans to vote. Andy was just 20 years old. James Cheney was 21 years old. Michael Schwerner was 24 years old, young men. In our New York City apartment a couple of weeks before Andy left for the South, my brother told me that most African Americans in Mississippi were denied their constitutional right to vote by state-sanctioned segregationists and racists. My brother said, quote, that was unfair, and he wanted to do something about it, so he joined the Freedom Summer Project as a volunteer. Approximately 100 black leaders and 1,000 mostly white volunteers, along with many more thousands of local African-American families, collectively participated in Freedom Summer 1964, one of history's most effective, nonviolent actions that resulted in a social revolution and helped pass the Voting Rights Act of 1965, passed in that building. On June 25th, 2013, 49 years and 4 days after my brother was murdered, the U.S. Supreme Court gutted the Voting Rights Act. The reason we are here today is that voting rights are being threatened again by restrictive laws and practices that make voting overly difficult, inconvenient, and intentionally marginalizing certain citizens. That's why the Goodman family stands with Democracy Awakening in our struggle today. We formed the Andrew Goodman Foundation 50 years ago to continue Andrew's legacy of ordinary people doing extraordinary things in the name of justice. Today, we train and support young leaders through our Vote Everywhere program at over 42 colleges, with collectively a population of 1 million young adults in 20 states around the country to register to vote and remove voting barriers and to organize their peers for a fair and equitable society. I'd like to give a shout out to the Vote Everywhere ambassadors from Bard College, New York, Montclair, New Jersey, Pace. They're here today, by the way. Townsend of Maryland, Tufts of Massachusetts, Virginia Commonwealth of Virginia, Western Carolina University of North Carolina. These young adults are the same age as my brother when his life was taken when fighting for what is right and fair. On June 24th, 1964, I was 17 years old and became witness to the hatred and fear that oppression engenders. It changed the course of my life. That's why I'm here today, to stand up for what's right. By showing up and speaking out, we stand together to remind America of its higher calling, of the promise of freedom and equality that democracy holds for ordinary people. Today, we're here to remind all Americans of the sacrifices that the blood bought our right to vote. Today, we'll register to vote. On Election Day, we'll vote so that our voices will be part of building the America dream into what all people are treated with dignity and respect. Thank you. God bless everybody here, and God bless America.
Let's give it up for Mr. Goodman again. Come on, you can do better than that. Come on, better than that. Please join me in giving a warm welcome to Mr. Miles Rapport, President of Common Cause.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is really a wonderful day already and just beginning. It's a wonderful day of commitment, of shared values, of tremendous collaboration, and of the raising of our voices together. This is actually a day that Common Cause has waited for a long time, 46 years to be exact. Common Cause has fought since Watergate to eliminate the pernicious influence of secret and interested money in our process, and today we are here with you fighting to overturn Citizens United and pass public financing in the Congress of the United States of America. Common Cause fought 45 years ago to win the 26th Amendment and give 18-year-olds the right to vote, and today we are here with you to say no to the refusal of our United States Congress to repass the Voting Rights Act and to say no to voter suppression wherever it rears its ugly head anywhere around the country. Common Cause has fought for a Congress that will do its job, whether it's transparency and ethics legislation or whether the misuse of the filibuster. And today we are here to say very clearly to the Senate of the United States, in terms of the relation, in terms of the filling of the Supreme Court vacancy, Senate, do your job. All these issues. Do your job. That's right. All of these issues are what bring us here today. But what's most important, what unites all of us, is a commitment to rebuilding a democracy that works for the many and not for the few. All of this is under attack. Our ability to have our voices heard is under attack from big money. Our ability to have everyone have the right to vote is under attack from various quarters. And our ability to have a functioning government that simply does its job is under attack, and the forces who are attacking it have deep pockets and a deep commitment. But at the moment, I want to say, importantly, I'm extremely optimistic. I'm extremely optimistic about what our future is, and for two reasons. One, the moment that we are in. We are in a moment where the issues that we are talking about today, money in politics, voting rights, the Supreme Court, are front and center in American politics. They are in the conversation at every Thanksgiving table, in every dinner table, and in every campaign around the country. And I'm a firm believer that when the conversation among people changes, the policies will change shortly thereafter. So we got to keep this conversation going, keep raising our voices. Which leads me to the second reason I'm really optimistic, and that is the movement we are creating. Today, as an example, over 300 organizations have come together from a variety of issues, whether it's environmental issues or labor issues or civil rights issues or lesbian, gay, and bisexual and transgender rights issues. All of those issues are here today to say we need a democracy that works on behalf of all of us, and we are going to raise our voices together until we get it. We saw it all week long in the great activities of Democracy Spring. I see it every day in the Democracy Initiative, a coalition of organizations saying that no matter what our issues are, democracy is what binds us together and democracy is what we have to prepare. And it is a movement looking towards the future. We are going to have, if we have our democracy back, if we win our democracy back, we will have a living wage, we'll have retirement security, racial justice will be assured, a future of our planet will be assured, and the future of every person to have a dignified life where they can fulfill their potential will be assured. So, let me end by saying thank you for being there, being here today. Thanks for all the critical work you are doing day in and day out. We need a movement that will bring about change. We're building that movement today. And on behalf of 35 state chapters and 475,000 members of Common Cause, we are proud and delighted to stand here with you today. The work is just beginning, but it's a good beginning we're making, and we'll be in it until we bring it home. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Miles. I say voter, you say power. Voter!
Power!
Voter!
Power!
I say money, you say out. Money!
Out!
Money!
Out!
Now, if you'll please join me in welcoming the director, award-winning actress, and fierce progressive advocate, Kathleen Turner, to the stage!
Hey, hey! Thanks for being here today. Listen, first I want to start with some questions for you. Do we have any teachers in the crowd? Teachers, let me hear ya? Yeah. All right, do you go to work and do your jobs? What about waiters, waitresses, cooks? Do you do your jobs?
Yes.
Nurses, caretakers, doctors?
Woo!
Students, do you do your job?
Yes.
What about people who work for retail stores, other businesses, nonprofits? Do you all go to work and do your jobs?
Woo!
So, here's a question for everyone. If you started showing up to your workplace but refused to do your job, how many of you would be fired? I think but all of us, yeah. But here in Washington, D.C., we have senators who are being paid to do their jobs, but are flat out refusing to do them. We have senators who took an oath to uphold the Constitution, but are refusing to follow the Constitution and consider President Obama's nominee to the Supreme Court. Now, it defies logic, huh? It defies precedent. It is an insult to the rest of us who do our jobs every day. And it's creating a crisis that is threatening the very core of our political system. So, today I'm going to do a little reading for all the senators out there who might need a little refresher on what the Constitution says about filling the Supreme Court. Here is an excerpt from Article 2, Section 2 of the Constitution of the United States. He or she, the president, shall nominate, and by and with the advice and consent of the Senate, shall appoint ambassadors, other public ministers, consuls, judges of the Supreme Court, and all other officers of the United States whose appointments are not herein otherwise provided for. Now, it couldn't be much clearer. The president nominates, the Senate provides advice and consent. It doesn't seem like too much to ask for Americans to be able to expect that the people that we send to Congress will follow the Constitution and do their jobs. Americans deserve a fully staffed, functioning Supreme Court able to rule on the most pressing questions of the day. There are now over 100 million people in our country who stand to be directly impacted by cases at the Supreme Court just this term. Whether it's the immigration system or access to birth control and abortion, the Supreme Court is too important to be held hostage to partisan politics. Now that's why we need your voices in this movement. We have to tell Congress to do their jobs, not only the Supreme Court, but protecting the fundamental right to vote and getting big money out of politics. Thank you. Thank you for being here today. Please keep up the fight. With all of us united, we will win.
Thank you, thank you, thank you so much, Ms. Turner. Job. Do your job. Do your job. Do your job.
Do your job. Do your job.
We are here today in large part thanks to an amazing and visionary leader, and that is our next speaker. I'm proud to call him my fearless leader, the president and CEO of the NAACP, Mr. Cornell William Brooks.
Good afternoon. Are you fired up about democracy? Are you really fired up? My name is Cornell William Brooks, and it is my humbling honor to serve the greatest band of freedom fighters this country has ever known. That would be the NAACP. I'm standing here this afternoon with a dazzling constellation of citizen activists known as the Democracy Initiative. 300 organizations across the length and breadth of our republic who are not intimidated by big money, not intimidated by voter suppression, not intimidated by skepticism, pessimism. They're not intimidated by civic self-doubt. These are the men and women, the brothers and sisters and citizens who are gathered here on the lawn, the front yard of our democracy. they would be you. We, the people, are here. We, representing Catholics and Protestants, African Americans and Latinos, native born and foreign born, coming from big cities, small towns, Native American reservations, across the length and breadth of this republic. We're here as a generationally diverse citizen army. We have the Motown generation, the hip hop generation, the baby boomers, the millennials, they're all here. The millennial generation. The generation of now. They have a phrase reflecting the aspirations, civic and moral aspirations and ambitions of a generation and of time. A phrase lifted up in places like Ferguson and Flint and Cleveland and North Charleston. That phrase would be this: stay woke. Yes. Now, when you lifting up this expression of democracy, stay woke, it presupposes that one is awake. We are here in the nation's capital because we are woke. We are conscious. We are aware. We are fired up about our democracy and our country. But there are those behind us who are not yet awake. They remind me of a fable lifted up by a prophet out of Alabama by the name of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. He spoke about a parable, a fable, if you will, lifted from American literature about a man named Rip Van Winkle who went up to a mountain and took a narcoleptic nap, woke up several decades later, came down from the mountain, walked by an inn, and the sign he saw on the way up to the mountain was not the sign he saw on the way down from the mountain. The sign he saw on the way up, George of England. But on the way down, of the commander-in-chief and the first president of the United States, George Washington, he slept through a revolution. We say to senators and representatives, the Congress of the United States, you are yet sleeping through a revolution. So you have a millennial generation yet saying stay woke, but they're also saying to this Congress, wake up. It's time to wake up and get up. As a woke generation, are here lifting up three very simple civic demands. The first of which is that this Congress act on the president's nominee to the Supreme Court. That Article 2, Clause 2 of the United States, the Senate providing advice and consent. It says nothing about a vacation. It says nothing about a siesta. It says nothing about a nap. It says nothing about sleeping on the job. We say, wake up! Article 2, Section 2, Clause 2 of the Constitution does not speak about a right so many Americans seek, that is paid leave. We have no intention for Congress to take paid leave from their constitutional responsibilities. They need to do their jobs. Amidst this democracy awakening, we'd like to remind our Congress that at our founding, at the Genesis moment of the Constitution, stained by the original sin of slavery, the Constitution defined African Americans as 3/5 of a human being. We, in 2016, have no intention of allowing the Congress of the United States to treat the first African-American president as 3/5 of a president. So we say, do not accord President Barack Obama constitutional disrespect. We ask that you respect him, not because he can fly on Air Force One, not because he's a resident of the White House. We ask that you respect him because he represents we the people. He represents Americans of every color, of every hue, of every heritage, of every party, from every region and religion in this country. Stay right. Second, we're here to demand that we get big, corrupt money out of politics. We know there's a Supreme Court decision by the name of Citizens United. This decision has all of the moral legitimacy and civic standing of Plessy versus Ferguson. We say it's not right for politicians to suppress and steal the vote before the election and then buy and sell legislative votes after the election. So we're here to say the Constitution, the spirit of our founding fathers and founding mothers, must be upheld by getting big money out of politics. We can't have labor rights. We can't have women's rights. We can't have the rights enjoyed and that should be enjoyed by African Americans, Latinos, and people of color unless we get money out of politics. You cannot expect integrity out of a system that represents legalized bribery. Thirdly, we're here because we yet believe that the right to vote is a civic sacrament that's being desecrated in the temple of our democracy. We're here because we believe that you have to stand up for the right to vote and protect the right to vote. I will simply remind you that when we walked on America's journey for justice from Selma, Alabama to Washington, D.C., some of you are here who made that march on America's journey for justice, there was a man by the name of Middle Passage. He walked 900 miles, carried the American flag nearly every step of the way as a veteran of the Vietnam War, as a veteran of the Navy. He carried that flag, and when he came to Spotsylvania, Virginia, having kept the flag wrapped up, he unfurled the flag, he collapsed to the ground. My hardest day at the NAACP was when I had to go tell a group of school children who saw him fall to the pavement that he did not make it, that he died. Their hardest question to me that I yet pose to you, which is this: if a man was willing to march, fight, and die for the right to vote, why can't we fight for the right to vote and vote? We are here Because we yet believe we have to protect the right to vote, ensure the integrity of the vote, and get out the vote. So come November, we need you to vote in mass. We need you to leave Washington and grow a movement. We need you to engage in acts of civil disobedience. We need you to stand at the polls, to stand in congressional offices, to stand in the street, and to launch a full-blown democracy movement. And if you get discouraged, if you get disheartened, may I remind you and leave you with these words from the hymn of the NAACP. Lift every voice and sing, till earth and heaven ring. Ring with the harmonies of liberty. Let our rejoicing rise high as the listening skies. Let it resound loud as the rolling sea. Sing a song full of the faith that the dark past has taught us. Sing a song full of the hope that the present has brought us. Facing the rising sun of our new day begun. Let us march on, let us march on, let us march on, let us march on, let us march on. Victory is won!
One more time, please give it up for President Brooks! Thank you so much for those powerful words. I have goosebumps. I don't know about y'all. Our next speaker is Federal Elections Commissioner Ellen Weintraub, a staunch advocate and ally for robust campaign finance protections. Welcome, Ellen!
Hello, Democracy Awakening! Thank you so much for coming all the way to Washington to tell your leaders that this is your country and this is your government and you are here to speak truth to power. I'm Ellen Weintraub. I'm a commissioner on the Federal Election Commission, an agency that should be in the forefront of the battle for a stronger democracy, for cleaner elections, for a more representative and responsive government, a government by, for, and of all of its people. Throughout our country, by huge margins, citizens hate the way we fund our elections. But nothing changes because here in Washington, no one believes you care. Billions of dollars are raised and spent on our elections, and Washington does not believe you care. In this election cycle, already 83 donors have each given $1 million or more, and those are only the ones we know about. And Washington does not believe you care. All right, so I came here today to ask you some questions and get some answers because we need to hear your voices. I'm gonna write it down, but there's only two choices. Hell yeah, or hell no. Are you with me? All right, first question. Lots of people in Washington think that no one outside this city cares about money and politics. Does that sound right to you?
Hell no!
Super PACs this cycle have already raised over $600 million. And according to the Washington Post, almost half of that money came from just 50 big donors. They gave more money than 1 million small donors were able to give. Does that sound right to you?
Hell no!
Who are these big donors? Well, let me tell you about them. According to the New York Times, they are overwhelmingly white, rich, older, and male. They do not reflect the diversity of this beautiful country. Should your voices be drowned out by hundreds of millions of dollars from these billionaires?
Hell no!
In the past few years, we've started seeing what's called dark money. Money that flows through groups that don't disclose their donors. We had $5 million of dark money in 2006, $300 million in 2012, and everything points to the totals going far higher in this election, and we have no idea where it's coming from. This hurts our elections. This hurts our democracy. This hurts America. Because if we don't know who's financing our candidates for public office, we don't know what they owe to their secret donors once they get into office. Does that sound right to you?
Hell no!
The Supreme Court and Citizens United said that corporations could spend an unlimited amount of money in our elections. Does that sound right to you?
Hell no!
When it comes to money in politics, the Supreme Court said it's wrong to try to level the playing field. They think special access for donors is not corruption, and politicians are expected to be appropriately responsive to the preferences of their supporters. Does that sound right to you?
Hell no!
This stuff matters. In a world where the largest donors have the best access to policymakers, who speaks for the single mom trying to find decent child care so she can go to work and support her family? We do! Who speaks for the folks who work hard and play by the rules only to find there are no decent jobs?
We do!
Who speaks for the parents of disabled kids when they can't access necessary services to give those kids a chance? Who speaks for the young people who are at risk on the streets because some people don't like the color of their skin or the style of their clothing? Who speaks for veterans who return home and can't get the medical care they need? Who pays for our elections determines who has a voice, who is empowered, who has incentive to participate, and whose interests our representative democracy really represents. But you can make a difference. You're here, and we need to hear your voices. We need you to stand up and shout from all corners of this country. So let's get positive now. Do you love this country?
Hell yes!
Do you love our democracy?
Hell yes!
Do you want our leaders to strengthen our democracy so it works for all citizens?
Hell yes!
Not just for the billionaires and the corporations and the secret donors.
Hell yes!
Now, if we stand together and demand action, can we get action?
Hell yes!
That's right! And we're standing here on the doorstep of the Capitol, so this looks like a pretty good time to tell Congress exactly what you want. Do you want a government that listens to the people?
Hell yes!
Do you want a government that's accountable to us?
Hell yes!
Say it loud so they can hear it inside the Capitol!
Hell yes!
Say it loud so they can hear it back in their home districts!
Hell yes!
Say it loud so they can hear it on the other side in the Supreme Court!
Hell yes!
I am so grateful that you are here, that you have taken the time out of your busy lives to come to Washington and stand with your fellow Americans and demand that your leaders give you your democracy back. I am so grateful that you have come here to raise your voice. And when you're done raising your voice here, I want you to go home and keep raising your voice. Keep speaking out. Vote and lobby and organize and vote. And get all your friends to vote. Will you do that? Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ellen. Our next speaker is Reverend William Barber II. He's a pastor of Greenleaf Christian Church, Disciples of Christ in Goldsboro, North Carolina, and one of the leaders of the Moral Monday movement in North Carolina. Join me in welcoming Reverend Barber to the stage!
I've asked Rebecca if she would stay with me. My daughter is Rebecca as well, and in the Moral Monday movement, we try to never speak by ourselves. My friends, in the human family, every right to vote we have came through the blood of the martyrs and sacrifice. The 15th Amendment that says the right of citizens of the United States to vote shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of race, color, previous condition of servitude came through the blood. The Voting Rights Act, signed August 6, 1965, amended 5 times to expand protections designed to enforce the voting rights guaranteed by the 14th and 15th Amendment, especially for racial minorities and especially in the South, came through the blood. The blood of the martyrs, the blood of slaves, the blood of abolitionists, the blood of white, the blood of black, the blood of freedom fighters, the blood of Native Americans, the blood of soldiers, the blood of Latinos, the blood of the gay, the blood of straight, the blood of Christians, the blood of Catholics, the blood of Jewish people, the blood of Muslims, so many unnamed. But we can never forget that every right to vote has been signed in blood. And we are here to say to America, wake up, can't you see that it is a desecration to the memory of the martyrs for the Voting Rights Act to be gutted by the Supreme Court? It is a desecration to the memory of the martyrs and their blood to pass Citizens United, which gives money, greed, and racism the power to buy the elections that they can't earn at the ballot box. It's a desecration of the blood for the extremist leadership of the United States Senate and the House to engage since June 25th, 2013, the day of the Shelby decision, a 1,027-day interposition filibuster, 1,025 days longer than Strom Thurmond filibustered the Civil Rights Act. They've been filibustering fixing the Voting Rights Act. They've been refusing to do the job that Congress is assigned to do in the 15th Amendment.
Do your job!
1,000 days.
Do your job!
Allowing the Attorney General of the 21st century to have less power than the Attorney General had in 1965. 1,000 days. Allowing a race-driven legislature and governors all through this country to engage in retrogressive voter suppression laws. 1,000 days of the worst attacks on voting since the 19th century. And not only just this Congress, but if we're going to be nonpartisan and tell the truth, we've had more than 16 presidential debates, Democrats and Republicans, and none of them have focused on fixing the Voting Rights Act. That is a travesty to the blood of the martyrs. But not only is it a desecration, Rebecca, it's an attack on our democracy.
Yes, it is.
Without the unabridged right to vote, the heart of the democracy is under attack. Yeah. I come from the South, from North Carolina, where we have seen since Shelby the worst coordinated attack in this country. At the very time that African Americans are voting at 70%, and we're building fusion with progressive whites and Latinos, we've seen an extremist governor and legislature vote to put in place apartheid voting districts. We've seen them shorten the early voting period by a full week because 70% of those that use the first week are African American. We've seen them eliminate same-day registration because 43% of those that use same-day registration are African American. And we've seen them pass a strict form of photo ID that negatively impacts 300,000 voters. This is a racial and class attack on our democracy. And let it be clear, the attack on voting rights is not just an attack on black people, it's an attack on labor. It's an attack on living wages. It's an attack on the peace effort. It's an attack on health care. It's an attack on women. It's an attack on LGBT community. It's an attack on climate change. It's an attack on justice and criminal justice reform. It's an attack on the common good and the general welfare of America. And let us understand why it is an attack. It is an attack by modern-day race and class-driven Southern strategists who are reaching back to the theories of Richard Nixon, Ronald Reagan, and Kevin Phillips because they know that black, Latino, and whites now have the power to break open the South. They are fighting to hold on to the South because they know that in 13 states in the South, you have 160 electoral college votes, You have 26 senators. You have 13 governors who control election boards. And you have 135 U.S. House seats, which make up 31% of the House. They know if they can suppress the vote, they can lock up the South for another generation. But they don't know that we know. That we know with the right to vote and the protections of the Voting Rights Act, we can break open the South and free up this nation. And so, we know the trick. We've seen it before, and it will not work again. We've come to this Hallett Mall to say to America, there's an awakening happening. It is not being launched this week. It's already been launched. We see it all over the country. We see it in the lawyers of the NAACP. We see it when labor wins. We see it in the fight for 15. We see it with Black Lives Matter. We see it in Mo' Monday. We see it when people of faith are standing up all over this country, that the alarm of conscience has gone off. There is an awakening. Wake up, everybody. It's our time. It's our time. It's our vote. Wake up, America! Wake up, America! Wake up, everybody! No more sleeping in bed! No more backwards thinking! Time for thinking ahead! The world won't get any better if we just let it be! We got to change it! Wake up! And vote! Wake up! And fight! Wake up! And stand! Wake up! And believe! Wake up! Wake up!
Reverend Barber.
Thank you. And thank you, everyone in the audience. Y'all are holding it down. Woo! Now, join me in giving a warm welcome to the Executive Director of Greenpeace, Annie Linnard.
Thank you. It is excellent to be here today. You probably all know that Greenpeace cares about a green and peaceful planet, and we've been working for that for 45 years. But you know what else we care about? We care about democracy. We care about voting rights. We care about getting money out of politics. And the reason that we care is that we know whether we are fighting for climate solutions, or protecting the world's oceans, or protecting our precious forests, or racial justice and social justice and economic justice, if you care about anything good, the number one obstacle in our way right now is our dysfunctioning democracy.
Yeah.
Our democracy should be the best tool we have for building a better future. But between fat cat corporate lobbyists and draconian assaults on voting rights, our democracy is not available to us right now. And our functioning democracy is a precondition for a healthy environment, a healthy economy, and a healthy society. So we are here today because we are going to change that. Absolutely. And how are we going to change that? We are going to change that by standing up strong. We are going to be courageous. We are going to be diverse. We're going to be inclusive. We're going to be bold. We're going to be loud. We are going to stand up together for a better democracy and a better country. All across this country, people are standing up together and making change. From the fight for 15, to Black Lives Matter, to the kayaktivists in the Pacific Northwest standing up to Shell Oil. That's how we make change, by standing up together. You've seen it the last 10 days in D.C. I hope many of you are going to join us. Hundreds of us are tomorrow going to risk arrest on the Capitol Hill. If you want to join us, meet us at Union Station, 8 o'clock. Stand up together to fix our democracy. After that, the daily protests will slow, but the movement will not. We are getting stronger and louder. Thank you for being part of it. Thank you for being part of making this movement too loud and too big to ignore. and to see all of you. Today has pretty much everything that makes me happy. We have sunshine. We have ice cream. We have people standing up together for a better future. There is only one thing I can think of that would make today better, and that is to have Sweet Honey in the Rock sing to us while we are standing up together.
All right.
I used to live in Washington, D.C., and I left 15 years ago. And with due respect to all of my many friends in Washington, D.C., the thing that I miss most about Washington, D.C. is Sweet Honey in the Rock. For those of you who don't know Sweet Honey, you are in for a treat. Actually, for those of us who do know Sweet Honey, we are all in for a treat. Sweet Honey was founded in Washington, D.C. They are an internationally renowned Grammy Award nominated female a cappella group with a history of 4 decades for standing up and singing for justice. Sweet Honey has been my soundtrack for my activist life, and Sweet Honey has taught me so many things. Sweet Honey taught me that those who believe in freedom cannot rest until it comes, and we will not rest. May I welcome Sweet Honey in the Rock.
Hello, everyone. How are you? This is beautiful to look out and see you all out there. This is wonderful.
Moving, moving on, moving, moving on, moving, moving on, moving, moving on. Nothing can stop me now. Nothing can hold me down. No one can keep me back. And we're moving, moving on, moving, moving on. We've been buked, we've been scorned, we've been talked about sure as you're born. Let's work together. I don't care how long it takes. We've come this way before, and we're moving, moving on, moving, moving on. The road may be rough, the way may be long, we got to keep on keeping on. Let's work together, don't care how long it takes. We've come this way before, and we're moving, moving on, moving, moving on. We've been puked, we've been scarred, we've been talked about sure as you're born. We're marching over, don't care how long it takes. We've come this way before, and we're moving, moving on, moving, moving on, moving, moving on, moving, moving on.
Thank you, thank you. It's a good day. Wherever people come together to sing about freedom and give love and to show an interest and an energy towards change, it's always a good day. And may we all have good days every day. So we're going to do some songs for you from the civil rights movement. And that's because you never know when you're going to need a good protest song. And I think Democracy Awakening is a good movement for using some protest songs. So, if you hear something you recognize, raise your voice. Really give power to it as if it means something for your own very life, because in many instances, it does.
Freedom!
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 Freedom! We want freedom now!
Yes!
Come on,
I know that's right. That's right. Come on.
Freedom.
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 I want freedom.
Come on, sing about
am a common man and it won't be long.
Will I do it to the horn of Rehamba?
Freedom will come and it won't be long.
Well, the fight's a good issue and it is hard for us.
Freedom will come and it won't be long. Freedom, freedom, oh!
You've been listening to Voices from the Democracy Awakening Rally, held April 17, 2016 at the U.S. Capitol. This has been a special presentation of On the Ground, Voices of Resistance from the Nation's Capital on WPFW Pacifica Radio in Washington, D.C. I'm Esther Averam. Special thanks to Lydia Curtis for her recording of the rally. You can reach our show at onthegroundshow.org and also like our Facebook and Twitter pages at On the Ground Show. Raise your voices out there. Peace.